We are in a new year already. As of last night at 12 o'clock, Brother Jose said that where he is from, it's 11 o'clock the night before that new year begins. And Hema Chandra said among the Hindu people in India, they experienced the new year about like the Chinese New Year, so at a different time than January 1st. And so there are different celebrations around the world, but ours begins on January 1st, and that's the day. And that began at 12 o'clock last night, so this is our new year. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, Paul wrote to the Corinthians, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Turn over, if you would, now to chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Welcome those that are watching on live streaming. And we're thankful to all of you for being here. Our Lord Jesus Christ instituted the Lord's Supper with the Passover meal that he ate with his disciples. And he said, "This is the New Testament in his blood. It is a memorial of his death. We are to remember his death until he returns." I imagine this table has "in memory" on it. That's a communion table in memory of our Lord Jesus Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection. He is the chosen Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In the Passover feast, that is the type that communion or the Lord's Supper is based upon. From the 15th to the 21st of the month that the Passover is observed, they have the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Unleavened bread looks like pita bread, or like a big soda cracker without the salt. It is bread without leaven. In 1 Corinthians 5, it's talking about a lump. It's talking about making a lump of dough to make bread, but leaving the yeast out so there's no rising. There's nothing that makes it puff up, because that is a symbol of a sinful condition that is puffed up with sin and puffed up with pride. So unleavened bread deals with a separation from sin. And in the Old Testament Exodus, where the Passover began, they taught that no stranger or foreigner was to eat. If they had a household servant that worked for them at all times and had followed the rules of the Jews and circumcisions, then they could eat the Passover with them. Just like we would have people visiting our church who are believers, and you're allowed to take communion with us as a church body because you've been saved, you follow the Lord in baptism, and you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, and you will be told, as everyone will tonight, to bow your heads and repent of anything you know that is wrong in your life and make sure your heart is clean before the Lord in order to partake. They were to eat it as a pilgrim with their shoes on and their clothes on, ready to leave. As soon as they ate, it was strength for the journey, and they were to make an exodus to go to Canaan, the place that God had prepared for them. We are called out people, but we are living here today waiting to be called up to heaven to be with the Lord. They ate it at night, and we are eating the Lord's Supper and partaking of the juice that represents his shed blood in the night service. They ate a lamb. They ate bitter herbs that remind them of the hardships and the sufferings that they went through in Egypt. It was a memorial to them that was a type of what Christ would do. And they ate unleavened bread. Now, why did they eat? It was in obedience, and it was to gain strength for the journey. They were to eat the lamb, they were to eat all of it, leave nothing until the morning. If the household was not large enough to eat the entire lamb, they were to eat it with another family so that the entire lamb would be eaten. And it's a symbol of holy partaking unto Jesus Christ. Now we observe that memorial of what Jesus did for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, the scripture says, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." This is the symbol of communion, the cup of communion and the bread of communion. Communion means to be in fellowship, and as a body of believers, we are in fellowship. We are united together in Christ, and we are in communion together. Jesus gave thanks for the cup and for the bread in Matthew 26, and that giving of thanks is the word that is used in some churches, Eucharist, when they partake of communion. The Episcopal Church partakes every Sunday. Many Catholics do that, and they call that the Holy Eucharist, the Holy Giving of Thanks. One fellow told me that had three church services at the Episcopal Church in Fort Mill. It was the only Episcopal Church in Fort Mill, and so they had three separate services. He said the men come about 7 o'clock in the morning, take communion and leave their money, and then they go play golf. He said, and then others come a little after that and have a short service and then the regular service in the morning, you know. And he said they use wine with alcohol in it. And he said the priest, they take a common cup and everybody drinks from the common cup. And he said then the priest will drink the rest of it, and then he'll put a little bit of water in it and wash it out and drink it, and then he'll set it there to be used in the next service. He said, by the time he takes communion at third service, he's preaching like a Baptist. I said, I'm not going there. You know, that's just it's outside my understanding. The value to us is not a meal for the journey, but if our hearts are not right in our journey in this life, we will be missing something without partaking of the Lord's service. It's a treasure to remind us of what Christ has done for us. This communion of the Lord's Supper, a memorial, the giving of thanks, can be the basis of a revival for a church or a people who pause to confess their sin and get things out of their lives that have crept in and make a new dedication and a new commitment unto the Lord in partaking, remembering His suffering and death for us. And it's the beginning of the year is a great time for this to occur. Christ shed blood, Christ's broken body, the trial of cruel mockings and beatings and the crown of thorns, and then He carried the cross to be nailed to it. This cup symbolizes His shed blood. Chapter 11 and verse 23 of 1 Corinthians, Paul wrote, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I have delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is My body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of Me. After the same manner, He took the cup, and when He had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in My blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." So we are making a public display tonight of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are to remember, we are to think on what He suffered for us and what He went through on the cross. You can't say anything short of carnage in a crucifixion. Most all of us, if we came upon an accident on the highway and there was a terrible accident with people cut up and their lives were gone and all of that, we wouldn't want to look upon it. But in this case, the Lord says, remember it. Think on it. Because I suffered that for you. I went through that for you, that you might receive forgiveness of your sins. Our Lord suffered and died and wants us not to forget it. He substituted Himself for us, and we deserve that kind of punishment that He went through to pay for our sins. I won't read it for the time, but back in Isaiah 53, we know that passage of Scripture says that He suffered for us, that He bore our iniquities, that He took our transgressions, that He suffered our sins, and He made sacrifice for us. Often we must be reminded what sin costs and how thankful we should be if what the Lord has done for us. He took our place. So it's that look back at what the Lord has done. Then we look within. In 1 Corinthians 11, in verse number 28, the Scripture says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." Examine ourselves. Look into our hearts. Make sure we're not hiding secret sins and harboring any kind of sins in our life. Examine ourselves. Verse 31 and 32 says we're to judge ourselves. We're to judge righteous judgment, but we're to judge ourselves. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. The Lord has made a way for us to walk the straight and narrow path with Him. And if we get off the straight and narrow path, He may chasten us to bring us back to the place where we need to be. We need to let our hearts feel the pathos, the emotion of admiration for Christ who died upon the cross. Let our hearts feel the pathos of the cause of His sufferings and death is to look into a mirror and see yourself. We are the cause of His suffering and His death. Let our hearts feel the pathos of Christ buried in the grave and then risen from the dead. Let us rejoice that Christ has conquered death and hell and holds the keys, and He has made that redemption for us. And the pathos of looking for Him to come again, that should be an excitement, that should be a longing, that should be a looking for the Lord's return. I've been outside some recently at night and seen the, I don't know if it's Venus or Mars, that's real close to the moon right now and very large and visible. And to see the display of the heavens on a clear night. In the wintertime, the skies are much clearer when it's not raining or anything of that nature. And they're close to us, as close as they get. And we look up and see the heavens that God created and the power that it took for God to create those worlds. And it's an amazing thing that we rejoice in that our God is good. And His handiwork is amazingly beautiful. And we rejoice in the resurrection, giving us the promise of the resurrection for ourselves. By faith in Christ, we confess our sins. And He has promised to faithfully and justly forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. So we take a look back at Christ's suffering. We take a look within ourselves to see where we are with the Lord. And then we take a look around. We see our brethren here among us tonight. We can't see them on the screen at the live streaming, but they can see us. And most of the time, they long to see many of you. They like being able to see the building full. They like being able to see people up here in the middle of the aisle before they go off the air because they miss being with you and they like to see who is here. We see our brethren, the body of Christ. We are in one accord together in partaking of the Lord's Supper. We are saved. We follow the Lord in believers' baptism. We've examined our hearts. We've confessed our sins. And we should be as pure as we can be as the saints of God together with no sin in our camp. Lastly, we take a look ahead in chapter 11 and verse 26. "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till He come." Jesus is coming again. He could come at any time. If we keep ourselves aware of that, if each day we pray, "Lord, protect me as I go off to work today, keep us safe and keep our property safe from criminals and such, and receive our praise and our glory, and then I got to hit the road and get going to work," we should also remember this could be the day that Jesus comes. This memorial reminds us he's coming again. This is a great memorial. It is made for the last days on this side of glory, till he comes. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 15, many of you could quote most of those verses, but I want to read them just so we have it in our mind fresh. In Titus chapter 2, before Philemon, Titus 2:11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity, purifying himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee." Let us be ready. Let us be expectantly looking for the coming of the Lord. We should be longing for the coming of the Lord. We should be living for the coming of the Lord, knowing that Jesus could come at any time. His coming, we should be in anticipation of that. This could be the year, 2023, that Jesus comes. This is January, the first day of the month. It could be this month that Jesus comes. He could come at any time, this day, this hour. What is important is that we're ready whenever he comes, expecting him to return. Let us bow our heads in prayer. And all of you that will stay to partake of the Lord's Supper tonight, please, let's search our hearts. Let's examine ourselves. Let's confess our sins to God and draw close to him and ask him to cleanse us afresh and new, that when we partake, we are worthy of partaking of the representation of his shed blood and his broken body. Father, we love you. We thank you for